number of years ago, I got a call from Larry Klaus. Larry Klaus, some of you might remember, is the founder and the director of the mission board that Esther has gone under, and also the Ellis family are with their mission board. Larry called me and said, your daughter has applied to be one of our missionaries. What do you think about that? And I was stunned because I realized what Larry was doing and their mission board did was adopt the same philosophy that Hudson Taylor and his mission board, the Sudan Interior or the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor and his mission board adopted the philosophy that the opinion of the parents counted. And they would not send a missionary out if the parents were not in approval with it. And I had read about that, but I had never heard of it in a contemporary setting. But that's what they did. In fact, years later, when just at the very beginning of COVID, Esther had heard about a school in Mexico that taught people how to learn a foreign language. And it was geared towards missionaries, how missionaries could go in and learn a language. And they really emphasized the importance of being proficient, not just survival knowledge of the language. And I remember one of the guys saying, oftentimes when missionaries start their ministry and they know a little bit of the language, it's Tarzan language. Me, missionary. You, sinner. God, big. Big, big. And he kind of went on like that. We all snickered. But really, the importance of a proficient knowledge, not just a survival, but proficient knowledge of the language is critical in ministry. And so Esther wanted to go to this school. She asked me what I thought. I said I thought it was a great idea. And but then shortly after that, Larry called me again. He said, your daughter asked us about going to the school in Mexico. What do you think? I said, well, to be honest with you, I'm a bit concerned about my daughter going to Mexico with all that I hear about the cartels and the drugs and everything down there. But if this is God's will for her life, then he can protect her. And Larry said, you do remember, don't you, that my wife came from Mexico? I said, oh, no, I forgot about that. But again, he was checking with me, not just as the pastor of Esther's sending church, but as her father, what I should do. And what is that, what she wanted to do? And what is rare about that is that, frankly, in Christian circles, oftentimes, the parents are left out when it comes to dealing with young people, and not just graduates. We have purposed in our church not to go against the will of parents in our youth ministry. Now, there have been a couple times when I've had to work with that a little bit, but likewise, I have a personal policy that I will not do a wedding if the parents are not in favor of the wedding. And again, there have been some times when I've had to work with that a little bit. But I'm very pleased with it. Anyway, that is really based upon the fifth commandment that we find in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. This is the third of the positive commandments. The first was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. that we were to put God first in our life and remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. This is the first of the commandments that deal with the relationships with people. The first four had to do with our relationship with God, who God is in my life, how I talk about Him, how I worship Him, not with idols, and the fact that one day in seven is set aside for the Lord and remembering about Him. But the last six of the commandments have to do with our relationships with one another. And the first one is how we treat our parents. And that's a reminder to us, gang, that family is to come first. Family first. I hope you do that in your home. And I know we've got a combination of people whose kids are already gone and people who just had kids. And we've got that middle part there that there's not a whole lot of people in there. But really, this commandment isn't just to young people. In fact, it's not. There is no age attached to this commandment. It doesn't say, thou shalt honor thy father and mother until you're 16 years old, or 21, or 35, or any other age. It just says, honor your parents. So families to be first, and there's a good reason for that. Because the things that we learn at home stay with us for life. They do. And it doesn't really matter whether it was bad stuff you learned at home or good stuff you learned at home. It all stays with you for life. In fact, the relationships you have within your family that are unresolved will also stay with you for life. It's interesting to me that when the disciples came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray, that Jesus said to them, when you pray, pray in this manner. And how does it start? Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. And that's a reminder to us. First of all, it's a reminder to us fathers that we are a visible representation of God to our children. Their first impression of what God is like will be what we're like. And guys, we already talked about taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I think there will be many of us who, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will have to give an account for the way that we misrepresented God before our children's eyes. Along with that, you also have passage in 1 Timothy. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is giving some instruction to Timothy. Timothy was his young co-worker. They had a father-son-like relationship. And Timothy had the responsibility of setting churches in order, getting churches set up right. And so these passages or these books, 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Titus, are oftentimes called the pastoral epistles. They have to do with church order and church leadership and so forth. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, 1 Timothy 5, 1, if only I could speak English, it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a what? Father. And the younger men as brethren, and elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all piety. Now, in those two verses, what God is saying to those that are going to be involved in spiritual leadership is you need to treat others like you would your family. And that means if you had a rotten family, you jolly well better get it straightened out. Because that's going to end up spilling over into your ministry. For many years, our family was involved with Mr. Gothard's ministry and in their homeschooling program. And I personally went to an awful lot of his seminars just because they were just such a blessing to me. But Mr. Gothard was, not everybody reacted positively to him. And I remember being at a pastor's seminar once, and he said, I know where I get reaction from my ministry. And he shared some of them. For instance, he has a very strong opinion of the Old Testament. He doesn't teach that you have to follow the law, but he does teach that the Old Testament is an inspired part of the Bible also, and ought to be treated like that. And then he says he gets reaction from the way that he teaches with regards to music. What kind of music we should listen to and what kind we shouldn't listen to, and on and on. But one of the things he said was, I know that I get a lot of reaction from pastors with regards to our teaching on authority. Now think about that for a minute. Here's a ministry that teaches people that they need to respond positively, like God's Word says, to the authority structures in their life. What are the authority structures? Well, God established the family. God established the relationship between us and the government. God established a relationship between us and regulates the relationship between us and employers. But God also established the family. In fact, the family was the first one that he established. And God established a relationship between us and the church. And so one of the authority structures that pastor, or one of the teachings that pastors react to, is the teaching of how people should respond to them as pastors. I was like, that just doesn't seem right. But then I realized what it was all about. See, pastors want to be respected and honored and obeyed and followed. That's why you get churches that end up being dictatorial. I had a pastor in my home church that one time he actually said from the pulpit, on this platform, there are 4 square feet of holy ground, and I'm standing in them. It's like, wow. Kind of an exaggerated view of himself he had. But you see, when you take that same teaching and you apply it to reacting to your parents, there's an awful lot of people that go into ministry that have parents that had questions about whether they ought to. And they're not always founded, but I don't think they should be ignored. Quite frankly, when I went to Bible college, my parents didn't have a problem with me going to Bible college, but I remember my mother saying to me, Mike, are you going to be able to do anything with this education besides preach? And I remember my cocky attitude, Mom, I'm never going to have to do anything besides preach. Yeah, that came haunting me when we moved here and I didn't have a church and I couldn't get a job because I had a college degree in something that people didn't want. But they weren't going to hire me because I was going to go on to another job, and it was a disaster. In fact, let me say this. I don't know that I can think of a time when young people ignored the counsel or the command of their parents and it turned out right. I can't think of a single one. Now, a didn't always turn out the way the parents warned, and it wasn't always a total disaster, but there are things that could have been avoided that had to be experienced because the young people didn't listen to the counsel of their parents. Anyway, the commandment is there. It's the first and the only commandment that includes a twofold promise. That's repeated in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, where it tells young people, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it tells of the twofold promise. The promise is, and it actually comes from Deuteronomy passage there that talks about obeying your parents, that it may be well with thee. And that simply means that things will go well. In other words, obeying this commandment improves your life. Ultimately, it will improve your life. And then incredibly, it says that you may live long on the earth. It not only improves your life, but it extends your life. Now, you can wrestle with that all you want to, but the fact of the matter is, that's what the Bible says. And it's either true or it isn't. And I choose to decide that it's true. Now, there are a lot of other Old Testament passages. We don't have time to turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 28, talking about Jacob and Esau growing up in the home of Isaac, their father, you find that Esau went and married a Canaanite woman. And that wasn't going real well at home. His parents didn't approve of it. And he went and did it again. He married another Canaanite woman. And then it says that, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he blessed him and gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and mother, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, and he married somebody else. Here's a man that's old enough to be married three times, and he's still trying to please dad. And I've seen that. I've seen that where somebody, grown up, have their own family, still trying to get the approval and the pleasure of their parents. Now, let me say just a real quick word about that. Some years ago, I heard on Dr. Dobson's program, Focus on the Family, him say this: it is the responsibility of parents to approve of their children's spouse no matter what. And I would like to sit down with Dr. Dobson and clarify something, because I know he was not in favor of same-sex marriage. But on the basis of what he said, here's my new husband, Dad. Now, is it Dad's responsibility to say, good for you? No. Now, understand, you can love somebody without approving of their behavior. If you don't believe that, quickly glance at your spouse. Because people clash. And sometimes somebody's doing something that's just flat out wrong. And you don't have to say it's right. You don't have to rub their nose in it either. But I do believe that parents should work at having a right relationship with everybody, but especially their own children. But we don't have to compromise God's word in order to do that. And I know that's hard to figure out sometimes, but children's poor choices in marriage will be a grief to their parents and family. Years ago, I remember people saying, you marry your spouse, not their family. And that's just not true. There's going to be if there's children, there's going to be grandparents. There's going to be aunts and uncles. There's going to be cousins. And you need to understand that from the get-go. Anyway, there's a lot of other verses. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Notice who takes the greater grief for a foolish child. Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Can I suggest that when mom is old, so are you? This isn't just written to kids. In fact, it's primarily written to adults about adults. And finally, in Proverbs 30:17, Pastor Dave mentioned this last week, the eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. When a bird of prey finds what appears to be a dead body, do you know how it tells if that body is truly a dead body? Picks its eye. If something will not defend its own eye, it's dead. This verse is warning that God is saying to dishonor your father and mother could cost you your life. So, what are the New Testament? We're New Testament people. What are the New Testament passages say? Well, there's Jesus' example when he was only 12 years old. We read in Scripture that the family group came to Jerusalem to worship, and then on the way home, Joseph and Mary realized that Jesus isn't with the group. So they went back, and they spent a couple of days looking for him, and they finally found him in the temple with the scribes and the Pharisees, and he was asking questions and giving answers, and they were amazed. But whenever I read that passage, I don't know if you have voices go in your head, but when I read that passage, that voice turns to my mother's voice. How could you treat your father and I like this? Boy, that's mom all over the place. And Jesus' response was not disrespectful. He simply said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? And then it says, but he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in his heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that interesting? That the verse that tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man comes right after it, where it says that he subjected himself to his parents. Let me remind you that Mary and Joseph were chosen by God to raise Jesus, but they were sinful people. Amen? Can I also remind you that Jesus never sinned at all, ever in his life? And that means on a spiritual level, 12-year-old Jesus was on a higher spiritual level than his parents. And yet, he came back and he was subject to them. That meant he was under their authority. He followed them. In Jesus' teaching, he reproved the scribes and the Pharisees for replacing God's command, which said to honor father and mother, with their tradition Now, their tradition was, what they said was, you need to honor your father and mother, and that included taking care of them financially in their old age. However, if you dedicate a portion of what you have to the temple, then it's korban. It is dedicated. And you're free from honoring your parents with that. So they substituted, and Jesus pointed out, he said, you have substituted the word of God with your traditions. It was a money-raising scheme. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's no expiration date on this commandment, and there's no age limit that's attached to it. It's not till you're 16, not till you're 21. We have a command by God always to honor our parents. Now finally, years ago when I was a teenager and relatively new Christian, and reading my Bible and just amazed at all the new stuff I was reading, stuff that I never had heard before. And I remember going through Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1 gives us a whole list of these awful sins that people have gotten into because they walked away from God. They chose not to believe in God, and there were consequences. And let me remind you that there are always consequences for the decisions that we make. Always. So here are all these consequences for people in the passage. They walked away from God, and God doesn't have any part in their life. And so it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I remember when I read that, I said, whoa, wait a minute. This stuff is all nasty. That's not that bad. What's that doing in there with all that nasty stuff? And the reason why I reacted that way is because my relationship with my parents, especially my mother, was not what it could be and not what it should be. It's interesting how our behavior influences our theology. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. God has purposefully taken that and stuck it in a list of really bad stuff. So the big question for us is, how do we honor our parents? How do we honor our parents? Well, not to be overly simplistic, but for you young people who are living in your parents' home, you obey them. Let me just make it clear, no parent reviewed my notes and underlined that or included that in there. Obeying your parents. I actually, to my shame, I got in an argument with my mother one time, and she would always throw my Christianity in my face when we argued. And my mother quoted the Bible. Guess what she quoted? Bible says, honor your father and mother. And in my arrogant ignorance, I said, it says honor them, it doesn't say obey them. Well, actually it does. And besides, they're one and the same. You obey them. And if you truly choose to honor your parents, you'll find other ways to do that. were in camp season, and many years I had the joy of speaking at Camp Rock, where Jacob is working, and or yeah, Jacob, I get it right, and one of his sisters.
Yeah. Shame on you for naming them so much the same. but I was planning on speaking at camp, and I usually spoke at junior camp, and Ruth was going to camp that year, and she said, "Dad, when are you going to be at camp?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be there the first week." She said, "Good." She said, "That's when I'll sign up for. Because, Dad, I want to be at camp when you're at camp." I was honored. Yeah, she's heard my stories more often than you have. Could quote that word perfect.
And it doesn't happen often, but occasionally people come back to live with their parents for a while. And can I remind you that if you're living in anybody's house, it's their rules, not yours. And that's especially true of your parents. It's their rules, not yours. You want to live your own way? Get your own house. Anyway, children living in their parents' home, obey them. But what about adults? What about when we're living in our own home? How can we honor our parents when we've got our own family? And Scripture does say, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his own wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And I always thought that was odd that God addressed that towards the men. Because I always thought it was the women that were holding on to their mother's apron strings and not wanting to get away. And that does happen. But frankly, I believe if a husband treats his wife the way he ought to, it's very easy for her to leave dad and mom. But if he doesn't, it's hard. And wives do not appreciate having their husband's parents running their home. I guess the worst situation I saw was a couple that I know who, after they got married, his mother would not allow him to take her name off of their checkbook. She still had authority to write checks out of his bank account. That's probably A number one. And by the way, it was nobody in this room, I hope. Anyway, so how do you honor your parents once you're out of the home? Well, one way is to seek their counsel. I remember one time, I'm the pastor here in the church, and I called my dad. I don't remember what it was about, but I said, "Dad, we're trying to do this thing in the church, and what do you think we ought to do?" And my father was flabbergasted. He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, what do you think?" And he gave me something, and it gave me something to think about. You know, when you ask somebody's opinion, you're honoring them. When you take it seriously, you're honoring them even more. Now, I'm not talking about blind obedience there. I'm just talking about honoring them. Seek their counsel. And obviously, you don't have to do that in violating God's word. I don't care who it is. If you're still living at home and your parents tell you to do something that's sinful, then I'll talk to you about that. How to deal with that. Do it the same way Daniel did. Anyway, secondly, financially caring for your parents. We live in a different day and age today. We've got Social Security and retirement plans and programs, and we've got all that stuff. Not everybody was signed up for all that. Not everybody has good coverage. We had a family in our church who had heavily invested their retirement finances in a Christian organization that bellied up. They should have done more research. They lost it all. Another family that I know of, they had a good retirement fund, but their son ended up being a stockbroker and talked them into taking the bulk of their retirement fund and investing in something, and then the stock market crashed. They lost it. They lost the interest, not the principal. But there are other ways. It may not be a financial. In fact, frankly, parents have a hard time taking money from their kids. I've overcome that. Just for my kids that are already here. But sometimes it's just doing something that maybe that they wouldn't do for themselves or that they couldn't do for themselves. But you know, maybe more important than all that is the respect that we give our parents in thought. Because the next one is what you say. But let's be honest. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you're busy honoring your parents in your heart, it'll be a lot easier to honor them with what you say. And show respect in word and in deed. And then finally, let me remind you that God gave you to them to raise. Their responsibility to God was and is to raise you. But please remember that He also gave you to them to learn from them. And you're like, I'm not sure about that. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you learn by being an example. And sometimes you learn from other people's example. Love my dad and mom. I wish my parents would have been able to come out here to see our church. Years ago, when mom and dad were still alive, there was a group of people that got that idea, and so they contacted my parents, and they said, we would like to do something special for your son. We would like to have you come out here. We will pay for you to come out here and visit your son. I didn't know about that ahead of time. My father was deathly afraid of flying. When he was released when he was coming back from World War II, he was in the South Pacific, and he could either fly in one day to the States or take a boat that would take 5 days. Guess which he chose? He took the boat. Dad didn't fly. So he just said, we don't fly, period. They said, that's all right. We'll get you a train ticket. Unfortunately, on the East Coast, the week before, there was a massive train wreck. And they said, yeah, we're not going to do that either. And so they said, thank you, but no thank you. I had a real hard time with my parents for a while after I learned that. But I wish my mom and dad could have been here to see the church, to get to know you so that you could get to know them. But that's not going to happen now. But they were the people that God used to attend. Let me close with this. At a pastor seminar that I attended years ago, we heard of the teacher who was teaching about the importance of honoring your parents, especially if you were living in their home. A local pastor raised his hand and objected. He said, I don't think that's always necessary. He said, in fact, I have an example. So we have a couple in our church. They have an older daughter that still lives with them. And that couple took a job down in Florida
maintaining a retirement center of older people. And the daughter came to her pastor and said, I do not want to move with my parents to a retirement center. They want me to, though. Do you think I ought to do this? And the pastor shared,
I told her no. He said, I could see no reason for it. He said, why do you think God would make a young woman do something like that? He said, well, there's a couple reasons that come to mind. He said, one of them may be that moving down there, she'd grow to appreciate older people more. And it could be that seeing older people more, that she would not only have a greater respect for them, but it could open up into a new avenue of ministry. He said, or it could be that God wanted her to avoid some failure. And when he said that, the pastor's countenance fell. He said, by the way, how did that turn out? He said, well, to be honest with you, after her parents moved, she got in some bad friendships, and she had a very serious moral failure. And the teacher said, do you think it was possible that God was trying to use her parents to help her to avoid those friends and to escape that moral failure? Now, obviously, there are no answers to that. But whenever we need to compromise God's word in order to do something, that's not a good sign. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, our culture, our society really desperately needs to get honest with you when it comes to honoring father and mother. And Father, Christian ministries need to do the same. Lord God, I pray that you would teach all of us how to think biblically, how to take your word and make it practical in our everyday lives. Father, we pray for those who made horrible mistakes and now are suffering the consequences. We pray for their families that are watching with very little that they can do. Father, I pray that you would always remind us to trust you with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Brother Jeff.